Hey guys, this is Christians in the Gritty. Life is hard.
And man, we've lived it.
We sure have. We are just two sisters doing our best to please God through it all.
And having fun doing it.
Woo!
So we just had in our area, we're in the United States and we actually live in Ohio. So we were in the line of the eclipse.
Yeah.
And it was pretty neat. You watched it through like a homemade like projector like system?
Yeah. Okay. So I thought my kids aren't going to want to do this. They're going to just think it's cheesy or whatever. And there's not going to be any interest in it. So I didn't get the glasses and I was like, eh, whatever. You know, what's so special about this
we're
eclipse?
We're so like and so
just
different.
Like it's across the whole U.S. Yeah, but we've seen them before. Like,
yeah.
You know? And so then last minute, like an hour before it was supposed to begin in our town, I'm like, all right, I'll make these projectors.
They were cool. I seen the pictures of it inside. That's cool. That's what we did when we were a kid. We didn't have the glasses.
I don't even remember seeing
Okay, so I was young, so you don't remember. I forget you're 4 years younger than me. But, yeah, so we used, like, paper plates or something and then, like, projected it onto the ground. I don't know exactly. I don't remember. I was young, obviously. That's why you don't remember. And we did it on the playground at school, and we weren't supposed to look. But here's us, like, This is Melissa.
And Christina.
And you're listening to Christians in the Gritty. So, yeah, so we ended up getting the glasses, and Marley really enjoyed it. William almost didn't do it at all.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I'm not doing it, because he was mad because he just got in trouble. But eventually he did come out and looked a couple times, but he wasn't very interested. But Dominic, he was sitting on my lap and just kept putting the glasses on and staring, and Marley was so into it.
Yeah.
Shaylin's softball team all met at the field and like, well, it was actually after practice, so they didn't really meet there, but they laid around on the outfield and watched it from there with
their
glasses.
Cool.
So it was, she said she actually had a lot of fun with them.
Aliana really liked it at first, but she didn't get to like look at it.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the glasses. But I was like, maybe that's better because I think she would just keep taking the glasses off.
Oh, yeah.
I picture that. And she was looking in there and she could see and she's like, oh, so I don't think she really knew what she was looking at.
Yeah.
And then, but she liked doing it maybe just because she was holding the box at her head.
I saw the pictures. It was so cute. But you know, I did that. I had the glasses up and accidentally took them down too fast because it was almost like, we only got a partial eclipse, but it was almost all the way.
It was almost, I think it was like 96% or something like that.
I don't know. It was almost, but it left that little, you know, sliver or whatever. And I put my glasses down and I'm like, oh, ouch. But man, didn't the lighting look like it had that vintage filter on it for real life?
Yeah. Okay. When it was like fully covered for us.
Uh-huh.
The lighting outside was so cool.
It was.
Like, Liz and Riley were like, or Liz, maybe. It would be kind of cool if it was like this sometimes.
Not all the time because you like a sunny day, but man, it just looked, it got cold. It got like 6 degrees colder. I had to put on a sweatshirt and
it
I was
did.
Sweating.
And Aliana was out with like a tank top dress on. I was like, are you cold now?
It started warming up pretty quickly. It tells us how powerful that sun is.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the people when the sun stopped shining?
Oh,
I was, for 3 hours when Jesus was dying?
I was talking with Keegan about that, and he was actually talking about how all these things going around and people talking about, you know, what's going to happen, like what was going to happen. Oh, somebody said that it was going to be pitch dark.
Yeah,
and
no,
he's like,
not
no.
Here.
And well, plus, anyway, the sun's still shining, right?
Yeah.
So there's still going to be some light.
Yeah.
And
I mean, even at night, the moon reflects it, and we still get that.
You know, when we're at church and, you know, they're talking about how the sun stopped shining.
Mm-hmm. And in our previous podcast, a walk through Holy Week.
Yeah. I was like, that would be how, like,
be
if
terrifying.
The sun stopped shining, it would be pitch dark. You wouldn't see anything. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how that... I never pictured him on the cross in that way because, I'm sure they had torches and stuff. So it probably wasn't pitch dark for them. They probably had fire torches and stuff.
I mean, they wouldn't have been ready for that, but.
I mean, maybe they already had them. I don't know. Because it was like noon to three. It makes me wonder, like, they probably got them ready. I don't know. Because it's weird.
I don't know.
You don't hear them talk about how weird that was.
I feel like I would have been like, really freaked out.
Yeah.
Like, what would you do? Like, it had to have been very dark.
Yeah.
Where do you go?
I don't know. So, yeah, what you just touched base on was people thought that this event was going to bring, like, Jesus back. And at least they thought there was going to be the rapture. I've seen a lot of people posting things like that. And, like, this spells out a Hebrew letter and all these things. And it's like, okay, yeah. Do I think we're at the end of the Bible in Revelations? Yeah, I personally do. But how long does that take?
Yeah, exactly. How long is soon?
Yeah. And also, what does Jesus say about the times? Okay, well, this isn't Jesus. This is Paul. But let me read this. 1 Thessalonians 5. Starting at verse 1, about the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So it's like, you're not going to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thief in the night. And I'll read in a little while the verses that are from Jesus. That's what I was saying to our friend Tasha. Hi, Tasha. She listens, she said. She had posted there. This does not mean it. It just means that the moon is going to cover the sun.
Yeah.
And it's just funny because I told her, I said, if any of the days we know that Jesus is probably not coming, it's probably today while this eclipse is going on because too many people thinks that he is.
Yeah.
And yeah. Not that we could say that really either, but well, I was like, I'm just saying.
The verses you were just reading said that people will be at peace.
It said, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night when they say peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Mm-hmm. Well, the other parts of the Bible too talk about like people will continue on marrying. Let me get to Matthew here. So in Matthew 24, verse 36, is where it starts. Now concerning the day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, except the Father alone. As the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be.
And that's interesting because it's not like Noah was, oh, I'm just building a boat. He was like, God told me to do this.
They're like, you loony.
Yeah. So they even had a warning.
Yeah, they did. Well, we do too. The Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Saying this is going to happen. And yeah. How many people are like, you loonies.
You're right. So be prepared every single day.
Yeah. And that's the thing is we aren't going to know. We can know that the time is coming sooner because of prophecies are being, that's what they're trying to say about the eclipse. But we're not going to be able to guess it.
Yeah.
He's just coming when he comes.
Yeah. And it makes me think of always being sober in mind and spirit, mm-hmm. right? So in 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 10, it says, concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. They're saying here, just like when the Pharisees were trying to figure out things about the Messiah, and even angels don't know the time. Yeah. Also, to always be alert, mm-hmm. sober-minded, and always to be holy, always living for God, because we don't know when Jesus is coming back.
Right.
So
I want to go back to the part about the angels. I was doing some studying, and I can't know exactly where I get this from. Like we always say, you need to go and get in your word and know these things for yourself. We just want to spark your interest in these things and just tell you what the Holy Spirit is telling us. That Jesus doesn't know. Well, how is that? Because Jesus doesn't know the time. The angels don't know the time. It's only for God to know. Okay, well, how come Jesus doesn't know when he is God? He's part of God, and he's that Trinity and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But the way that I was, you know, when I was studying on that a little, was some other commentary or something came up and said something along the lines that it's not that Jesus couldn't know. It's that that's for the authority of God. Some things are only for God. Mm-hmm. Even though he is of God and he is God in human form, that's just Jesus clarifying the fact that he was in human form for us to see that he actually had to go through the trials in the same way mm-hmm. that we do. And he prayed to God for help, and God sent angels to strengthen him when he had to go to get on the cross. Mm-hmm. And some things are only for the Father. Right. And just like how we're like, I don't understand how God can fill in the blank here. That's not for us. That's mm-hmm. for God.
Yeah.
And his will. So I just wanted to specify that because people are like, how could Jesus not know the time?
Yeah.
And but that's one way of looking at it. It's like not everything is for us.
Yeah. And I think it was really important for us to be able to relate to Jesus so mm-hmm. much.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't, we wouldn't have the same appreciation
right.
for him. And like Melissa was saying, Jesus went through those temptations, the same temptations we yeah. face. And if he had all the authority of God, that wouldn't seem so special that he resisted those.
Yeah. Yeah. And we wouldn't realize that he went through the pain that he did.
Mm-hmm.
So I also have more verse from 1 Thessalonians 5. It's after what I had already read that was from there. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark for this day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then let us not sleep like the rest, but let us stay awake and be self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled and put on the armor of faith and love and a helmet of hope, of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. that is saying, you know, we know that Jesus is going to come. We are not in the dark about that, is what it's saying. Like, we have the light and the Holy Spirit in us. And so we need to make sure that we're living in that way, because Jesus can come back at any time. Do I believe that you won't be saved? That's a hard one, right? Like, are you going to be saved if you're in sin at the time when he comes, when you're already saved? Mm-hmm. Like, that's already been sealed for you. But how are you going to feel? Say you are still saved and raptured. How are you going to feel when you are standing in front of Jesus and he says, well...
Like how you are at the moment.
Yeah, like I came and got you and you were drunk. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know how it will be. I don't know how it will be.
Or you haven't been in communication with me in 3 months.
And I am not speaking superiority over you. I actually struggle with that. Like, because I enjoy having a glass of wine and I enjoy having a beer. And because, I don't know, maybe anxiety, it's like a self-medication, which mm-hmm. is horrible, because then what happens after you self-medicate yourself? And God, I think, told me, well, I'll fix that because I kind of have an allergy to alcohol now. So it's not like, I don't know. If you ask God, can you take this from me? He will. Take this from me because I don't have the strength. He's like, done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real. I mean, I've had the same struggle in the past using alcohol for anxiety.
Yeah.
And
then we weren't drunker. We weren't drunk in that phase using it for anxiety.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I would maybe say like somewhat. After high school, I was using it to have fun.
Right. Okay. I'm saying when we're using it for anxiety, I don't think we did, like, but at the same time, it's like, it's a slippery slope.
It goes past a point.
Yeah.
And so... That's why I decide, okay, I don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
And you know what helped me not to? Okay, but I've been allergic to alcohol, okay?
It hurts. It hurts.
I've been allergic to it forever. And, you know, like when I have like milk and I'm like,
Yeah.
Same thing with alcohol. So, yeah, I am definitely allergic to it as well. But it didn't seem to stop me. It wasn't, like, severe enough that I was, like, in anaphylactic shock or something.
Well, I think there's different degrees of it, too.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, I'm not judging people that do drink. I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Right.
And I'm not telling you I'm superior to you, because I'm not. I'm not.
Right.
And anyway, some of these podcast episodes, I feel like... We think, oh, I hope that didn't sound judgmental, because we're speaking to you from a place of knowing.
And that's why this is called Christians in the Gritty.
Like, we've been
there. Our lives.
And we're not judging you.
Yeah. Like, literally, to completely stop drinking, I had to go through chemo.
Yeah.
Like, and I wasn't drinking a bunch before that, but I would drink.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah. But I never really enjoy the decisions I made, even talking too much
mm-hmm.
while I'm drunk. I never remember waking up like, that was a good decision.
Yeah. And also not saying this judgmentally, but when you see other people doing it and you're like seeing how they're acting, I'm like, oh, I acted like that.
Yeah.
And that's. You're not as cool as you thought you were.
Yeah, like, oh, you ever get that feeling like, man, they're wasted.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, remember? That was you too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. And it does say in the Bible, like, if you have afflictions, it does mention drink a little wine to help your, you know, whatever, a little.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say drink the bottle of wine. So I do want to read this... verse from 2 Thessalonians 2. The man of lawlessness is what it's titled in my Bible my YouVersion Bible. Says, 2 Thessalonians 2, starting at verse 1. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, We ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be easily upset or troubled either by a prophecy or by a message or by a letter supposedly from us, allegedly that the day of the Lord has come. Don't let anyone deceive you in this any way, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship so that he sits in God's temple proclaiming that he himself is God. Well, I just wanted to say that a little because we got to remember, too, when people are saying these things like the Lord is coming and stuff, it says Paul says, you know, not to get too upset by these or troubled, meaning we don't need to get stirred up as Christians. Go to our Bible and know what the Bible says. Don't think, oh, no, the Lord is coming. That's how we should feel all the time. Mm-hmm. Kind of not in the same panic, but. You should know that where you're at with God and that no matter what day he comes, it's fine. We don't want to be freaking out like this could be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And that's kind of where I was going to with the verse from 1 Peter 1 mm-hmm. is we're not only talking about not being drunk.
Yeah.
Right. But also always being ready.
Yeah.
We should always be serving. We should always yes. be reading our Bibles, praying, talking to yeah. God, being disciples for Christ and trying to be more like him.
The things you need to be doing are what you're convicted of.
Yeah.
Let the Holy Spirit convict you and ask, where am I struggling? Right. Like, I don't feel like this place I need to grow. Reveal it to me.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't an excuse, but I'm saying, like Melissa was saying, like, we don't need to live in fear that it's going to be the last day here.
Yeah.
But also knowing that none of us are going to be perfect.
Right.
But we should strive to be.
Yeah.
Like Jesus.
Yeah. Just growing what God's calling you to. You know how many times we talked about in the past where we didn't do the things that God called us to? But he also will call and convict you on the things that you are doing.
Yeah.
And to not do. And he expects us to read his word and get closer to him. And he's going to be the one to mold you and let him.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think personally, and I think that's because I do read the Bible, is that if you're doing that, no matter where you're at in your walk, if the rapture happens, you're fine. You know what I mean? Like, because if you're doing what the Bible says and you're getting yourself, you're saved. First of all, you're saved. You did the prayer where you ask God for forgiveness, and that in your heart you do believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. You're saved, mm-hmm. but you know, God also asks us to walk with him. And if we're walking with God and he's molding us, not one person who's raptured is going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So don't fear that you're not perfect enough to be raptured if you have done that. You know, I just want to clarify that, like, being right and being where you should be, I don't know exactly personally, you know, what then is the important, like, it's important, but it says in that day, do not be doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get the full importance of it.
Of
like being like, say Jesus comes right now and I was drunk.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. I don't think we will. I don't think the full importance of it is known to us, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Of why.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll be perfected in heaven, right? He doesn't want anything impure to mm-hmm. come into heaven. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like...
I have no idea.
Part of it.
I don't know. And I don't mean just drunk. Like, what if I'm like literally committing some kind of sin that I shouldn't be, thoughts or what if I was stealing or something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, gossiping at the time or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. God already knows we're not perfect. So I don't know what the full reason, I think it's just to tell us that we need to be ready for him, because you really want to be pleasing to God when Jesus comes and you're standing there and you have to account for everything you did in your entire life.
Yeah.
You want him to be able to say, well done.
Yeah. And I mean, there's an accountability there too, right? That he's holding us to.
Yeah.
So we need that in order to do better.
Yeah. Yeah. There are signs of the end of time, but we also have to be careful that people are going to come and say that they're going to be false prophets. There's going to be people. That's why I'm saying, like, just wait for it to happen. Like, you're going to know when it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. They say he'll come in the same way. If somebody says, oh, look over here, it's Jesus. That's not him, is what I've read in the Bible. So let me just read from Matthew 24, starting at verse 3. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For the nation will rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. So I'm going to stop right there. So people are saying, this is happening. So the end of the time is coming, but it's the beginning. So what is the end? Is it 1,000 years? Or is it 10? You know, mm-hmm. you don't, like, they're like, oh, this has to happen before this. Mm-hmm. So we know that we are coming to, that's why I say, do I think we're in the last book of the Bible? Yes, I think we are. But how long does that take?
Okay, and I know it has also said, I think it's in the book of John, and I'll look, that there is already an Antichrist among you. So in 1 John 2, 18 and 19, it says, dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. So, I mean, John is saying here, even in his time, that there were already antichrists.
So it says in 1 John 2:22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So we got to mm-hmm. remember, like, there was another verse I had. I wish I could find it. Maybe I'll put it in the bio if I can't. That talks about someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit won't say Jesus is Christ. You know what I mean?
Jesus, like, Christ is Lord.
Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about too.
And so that's a good way of testing a person. Like, I'm not saying that somebody couldn't teach you wrong. Like, we could teach you wrong. We're not mm-hmm. trying to. Do we pray about it? Yeah, I prayed a lot before Christina came. Because again, we didn't pray before.
I know. I was thinking that on the way as I was praying.
But you were praying and I was praying. See what I'm saying? We both did pray about the podcast. But that's something we try not to do. And can somebody who has the Holy Spirit lead you astray? Yeah, that's why it warns us about Christians and how to act, because we don't want to lead people astray. But when you contest people who don't have the Holy Spirit in them by asking them that, like, oh, is the Lord Christ, you know, is he Jesus? Is he the Christ? Is Jesus the Christ? And is he your Lord? Mm-hmm. And they can't claim him. They can't claim the Father and the Son as their Lord.
Yeah. You know, maybe this is off topic.
It's okay.
Okay.
We always are.
For some reason, this is just making me think of when I had Jehovah Witness come to my door recently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, recently. Okay.
Yes. It happens occasionally. And what does it say?
It says the spirits. Go ahead.
Okay. And I tell you what, as soon as I start talking about the gospel to them and where I'm going to go when I die, they do. Okay. Bye. Every time.
For real.
They do.
Wow.
And this time there was an older gentleman and I saw him sitting in the car and I was like, who is that? Our house. I don't know who that is. And I'm like, I bet it's a Jehovah Witness. That's when if I don't recognize somebody.
Yeah.
And then came to the door and also had a younger gentleman with him. I think younger than me, probably in his early 20s or something. So, but as soon as I start like explaining my beliefs, they're not wanting to hear about it.
Yeah.
I was telling the kids after they left, I'm like, man, I wonder if I should invite them in one day. But also there's warnings in the Bible about, and I mean the scripture that might be out of context a little bit because I have to study it more because I wanted to. But about if people are denying, like, don't even invite them to sit at your table. Right. Yeah. Which is exactly what I'm thinking about doing.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, do you want to come and have a coffee? We can talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
And
well, I guess it depends where that depends, too, because are they denying it or are they not knowing? Because you can have a Jehovah Witness there that's been told this their whole time.
Yeah.
But if they're not coming to you in a way that is like, no, he's not. That's not it. If they're just saying, oh, well, this is what I learned. Maybe those are the ones you invite.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that. Like, I have friends and have had friends in the past who are Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. Love them to death. It's not that. But I'm saying, like, okay, what am I inviting into my home?
Yeah.
So just being careful.
Yeah.
But I think I'm overthinking that.
Yeah.
I really do.
You are and you aren't. Because you don't want them to try to lead you astray or your children that are listening or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about spiritual warfare. Are you inviting spirits? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother thing. Yeah. But at the same time, I agree with you. If they're denying it, then their hearts are probably hardened anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't witness to them. I'm just saying it sounds like they're not going to accept the seed. Then we have to just know that as Christians, and ask the Holy Spirit, like, am I supposed to invite them in?
Yeah. And you know what else keeps sticking out to me, though, is the younger gentleman was smiling the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm talking and stuff, he was following the lead of the older gentleman.
Ah. So you could have put a seed there that you didn't even know you put.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm. So anyway, well, he knows where I live. Maybe one day. No. But so anyway.
Yeah. And. Can you be in a lot of different religions? I don't know enough about Jehovah's Witness to say that you can't be saved and be a Jehovah's Witness. I don't know enough. But if you're denying Jesus as the Christ, then you're not saved.
And I think this is why it's important. I know people say, be careful when you're doing it.
Yeah.
But I do want to study other religions so that way I know how to share Christ with them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. If you're a new believer, don't do that.
Yeah. It would be confusing.
You need to study because how many times we go, I heard that somewhere. I think it was the Bible or whatever. Or, you know what I mean? You don't want to be doing that with other religions and putting that into that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be looking at it in a way, how can I witness Jesus to these people?
Right.
Not in a way that is, let me learn. Mm-hmm. About it for my own growth. because that's what the Bible's for. Yeah. Anyway, so I did run across this in 1 John 4, starting at verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. And this is why I love God so much. Not why. This is one of the reasons why I love God so much, because I was like, I don't know if I'll ever find that, because I was on my phone when I discovered it, but apparently also in my Bible, because this is highlighted a lot. And all I had to do is turn the page to find it.
Yeah. You're like, here's it.
Here it is. Yeah. Yeah. I do want to say this one part too. In Matthew, chapter 24, verses 26. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. I think that means, that exact verse means that's going to be a time when the evil spirits are going to flourish. They're going to use the knowledge of God and twist it. When you don't know your Bible, they're going to lead you astray.
Okay. And I think it's also saying everyone's going to know Jesus is arriving.
Yes, the main thing.
At the same time.
Yeah.
You're not going to be, you don't need to be lured away. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to see him coming.
Yeah. And that's what I was, that's what I was saying earlier. This was the verse I was kind of thinking, oh, I hope I can find that. Another one, because I do that all the time, apparently. But yes, this is how you're not going to be like, oh, that's Jesus over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be like that. You're going to know Jesus is coming, and you'll know for a certain, and mm-hmm. you're not going to be told by another person in that way.
Yeah.
But before that, there's going to be a lot of people, evil spirits, you know, just evil things trying to make you believe in what they're doing. And that they are the one that is Jesus coming, and they're not, because you'll know. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
And then, you know, you were in 1 Thessalonians. What were you in, 5? Or anyway, 1 yeah. Thessalonians 4, according to the Lord's word, this is starting in verse 15. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And so, you're going to know.
And this isn't going to be a trumpet that you... Like, okay, for example, when the tornado drill happens, you hear it really loud next to tornado, the sirens. And then as you go outside of town, you're not hearing it. This is going to be, you're going to hear it.
Yeah, that's audible.
It's going to be like you're right next to the speaker.
And like, I feel like it's going to be a trumpet sound we never heard before.
Maybe.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to be so powerful and amazing.
Yeah, knowing all the things in the Bible about when holy beings even come,
mm-hmm.
it's always power.
Yeah.
Like, how many times do people fall on their face in front of a holy being? This is not in worship, usually. This is your body can't handle it. And so then you have to be given power. And what happens? They touch you.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up. Yeah. And they have to give your body heavenly power to be in the presence of them, even angels. Just imagine, you know, all of them coming.
I know.
It's going to be so much power. I feel like it's going to be tangible. Like, you will be able to feel it, the power that mm-hmm. comes. But, okay. So I do want to say that this is kind of where they, to bring it all back to the eclipse, it says, the coming of the Son of Man is what the title of this is in Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is not a moon going in front of a sun.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sun forbears to shine again. It's going to go dark, and the moon will not reflect its light. That's mm-hmm. what we were talking about when it was still a light out. Because yeah. the sun's still there.
Yeah, and if we remember, the moon is not a light.
No, it reflects it. Like we, yeah. the moon is us and the sun is Jesus. We only reflect what Jesus has. And we cannot do the things that we do without the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? And letting that light shine like we had done in the Lexus words of encouragement. Yes. You know, let our little light shine. Without the sun, we are just a moon that's dark because it has no light of its own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
He takes the darkness right out.
Yep. I will end with one more thing, just for people that are curious that aren't this far in their Bibles yet. Okay. Oh, it's right here. So after the part I had read previously about not knowing the time that Jesus is coming, is in verse 40, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. So it says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Mm-hmm.
So does this mean that you stay awake all the time? No, it's not saying that. It's staying spiritually awake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not being idle in your faith. Mm-hmm. And also, when it says one will be taken and one will be left, man, mm-hmm. that pierces the heart a little bit.
I know.
Because those are the people we should be discipling to.
Get the out ones there and share the love of Jesus, people.
Yeah, those are the people that are nearest to us, that you work with, you live with,
yeah,
you do life with.
Like, they're going to watch you leave.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine if you never shared Jesus. Like, why did you never tell me?
Mm-hmm.
So I know some people we tell and tell and tell. But you'll be surprised how many people live in the United States and have no idea. We're all over the world, you know, Europe, wherever, because we do have listeners all over. You'll be surprised in the countries where Christianity is very prominent, how many people have never know who Jesus is. They think he's a cuss word.
Mm-hmm.
And they really don't know.
So we need to make sure we're spreading his word to everyone. Mm-hmm. So
we're going
to
lead you out in a prayer. First of all, I want to say is that we love you all and we pray for you all the time. You're always on my mind, and I know Christina's too. So anyways, God, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to just speak about you, Lord. And I'm so happy that you give us the worth that you do, and that we are worthy to do this for you, Lord. And I thank you so much for the opportunity, and just please continue to strengthen us and for us to know what you need us to say, Lord. And I thank you for showing us who you are and letting us know all the time that you are thinking of us when you let one side of what I have to say and what she has to say come together, Lord, and I appreciate that. Just continue to be with those who are listening, Lord, and as they strengthen in you, and just protect them and keep those evil spirits away from them. I'm asking you that, Lord. and be with our families as we continue with this podcast, Lord, and just protect them, because I know that, you know, the evil one is always working. And be with us as we go through our week, and call to those who are listening that haven't quite accepted Jesus yet, Lord, and just call to them. I'm asking you now, they just keep calling to them, and have someone around them talk to them and have them go to them, Lord, and put it on their hearts. And I ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Christians in the Gritty.
This is Christina
and Melissa.